As a preface to my homily, I am reading a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 to 33. This is John the Baptist's testimony to Jesus. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from the sky and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of Man." John the Baptist was a unique man. He is rightly called the last of the Old Testament prophets. That is, the last one to preach the gospel before the Savior came. John is also the first of the New Testament preachers, pointing out Christ for the world and to identify for the people the man who is God in the flesh, Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Some people would like to remember John simply because of the strange circumstances surrounding his birth: the angels announcing his coming to his father Zechariah and striking him unable to speak until his birth; the birth of John to Elizabeth, who was well beyond her childbearing years. Some remember John for his harsh preaching against the self-righteous Pharisees. Many would say that John's death by beheading by King Herod was what made John most famous. We are going to cast all of these aside today and remember John the Baptist for his finger. That's right, his finger. Because of all the things that John the Baptist did, the most important was what he did with his finger. He pointed to Christ. He pointed to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He did this in fulfillment of his father's words: "You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation in the forgiveness of their sins." John's finger pointed to Jesus, the Lamb of God, and that leads to salvation for you and me, who are also finger pointers. But when you and I point the finger, we don't always point to Jesus. When you and I point fingers, we are sometimes pointing them at each other. From the highest levels of scandal in world government and big corporations, to kids running around outdoors and getting into trouble, finger pointing is our thing. When Adam was caught in sin, he pointed his finger at Eve and even at God himself. "The woman you gave me made me eat the fruit." The woman Eve pointed her finger at the serpent. It was his fault. And from that day, we have loved ourselves rather than our neighbors by using our fingers to identify the people around us who ought to get into trouble instead of us. Oh, yes. The way in which we love to point the finger, lay the blame, and try to save ourselves is the way of people in this fallen world. By the Holy Spirit, Zechariah prophesied of his son's place in the world. To be the one who points us to the Savior, to Jesus, to the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. John came into this world for this purpose, to point us to Christ, to call God's people away from their sins in repentance and to faith in the one to whom he pointed. John baptized in the River Jordan for the forgiveness of sins, so to bring sinners to faith in Christ. John wasn't there to bring attention to himself, but to Christ. His finger was aimed always at Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It was this Jesus to whom all fingers ultimately point. Not only the fingers of the faithful, but also the fingers of all the blame in the world. For Jesus took upon himself our sins. It was to Jesus that the Jewish religious leaders pointed as the one who was worthy of death. It was to Jesus that the finger of Pontius Pilate pointed when he announced, "Behold the man." It was to the crucified Jesus that the fingers of his enemies and those who mocked him pointed. It was upon Jesus that the finger of God's judgment came forth and punished him for the sins of the world. And it was in the wounds of Jesus that the fingers of his disciples rested when he showed that he was indeed risen from the dead. My brothers and sisters in Christ, how worthless and silly all our finger pointing seems in comparison with the Lamb of God, who was pure and innocent and yet suffered for our sins and conquered death. Let each of us follow the finger of John the Baptist, the same to whom it points, and follow the finger of our clergy to see where they point. I too am called to point my finger, but like John, my finger isn't here to point out your sins for condemnation or to point out to you the sins of others. My finger is to point where John's finger is pointed, to the Lamb of God, and so should yours. We will point you to the altar where Christ's own body and blood are given. We will point you to the scriptures, which alone are the final authority for our faith and life. Parents, use the Bible, because in its text it tells the story of humanity from start to finish, from mythical beginnings to projected endings, with a whole lot of family life in between. The families of the Bible are not irrelevant to the story of salvation. They are the story. Saving grace does not fall randomly to the earth like the dewfall. Divine rescue is offered to individuals, and it is up to them to guide future generations along the path of hope. This suggests that our families are not unrelated to the present-day story of salvation that is unfolding in this generation. Elizabeth and Zechariah, Mary and Joseph were crucial in the formation of their families as well. Now, it is our turn. Each of our children is another opportunity to get the future right. What we invest in children is an investment in a human story. By all means, feed them, clothe, rock, and love the children. Teach them to speak and read and be curious about the world around them. But more than that, provide them with a moral education with compassion, kindness, and generosity at the center of the lessons to be learned. Give them your best example of what it means to live a holy existence. Be assured that some children will grow up to be parents, teachers, mayors, senators, engineers, or healthcare givers. Others will be artists, prophets, and religious leaders. Each of our children share one great vocation: to be saints in the making. Today, we remember the Nativity, the birth of John the Baptist, not for his sake, but for ours. To recall that he was the one born into this world to identify the Christ to us. John has identified for us the one source of all our hope, comfort, peace, life, and joy. John brings God's people knowledge of the salvation by the forgiveness of our sins. Praise God for John's finger, for it points us to our Redeemer, to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who has taken away our sins.